Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is commitment from the inside out. And the numbers to call to get coaching on thriving and having what you want in every area of your life are 866-254-1579. Toll free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the U.S., you can reach the show by dialing 001-760-918-4300. And as always, before we go to the phones, I want to sort of set the table a little bit, and I want to talk about commitment. And I'm going to talk about commitment. I'm going to share sort of three stories, and they're going to sort of show you a journey that I've been on from a sort of an outside in understanding of commitment to a more inside out understanding of commitment. So as soon as I've talked this through, I'm going to go to you. So if you want to get in, lines are already filling up. So those of you who've been listening to our trials, this is a whole new setup that is failing today. But let's have a go. So there's a quote, and you've probably heard the quote. And when I first heard the quote, I found it unbelievably thrilling. And it said, "Until one is committed, there is hesitancy. The chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance which no man could have dreamt would have come his way. I learned a deep respect for one of Goethe's couplets. Whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it." And I heard that. It's from W.H. Murray's The Scottish Himalayan Expedition. And I thought, ooh, I want providence to move too. I want all sorts of things to occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. I would love a whole stream of events to issue from the decision, raising in my favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which I could not have dreamt would have come my way. And so I started thinking, well, what is commitment? How do we do that? And how do we do that is a question that, and this may sound, if you're not familiar with the show, this may sound like a very odd thing to say, but it's a really overrated question. Because listening for how do I do that puts us in prescription-only mode, where all we can hear are prescriptions for success, prescriptions for happiness, prescriptions for how to make life work. It puts us in the role of the patient with other people, like the guy on the radio as the doctor. And it's not that there isn't a value in advice. It's that life on the whole does not respond to prescriptions because the dosage is almost always wrong for you. And sometimes there are contraindications with other prescriptions that you're using. So if you try and navigate by prescription, chances are you're going to find it doesn't work as well for you as the person who's selling you the prescription. Now, that's not necessarily anything dishonest or disingenuous on their part. It might well work great for them and for people who happen to think the way that they think. But for most of us, we take on someone else's description of how things work and try and turn it into a prescription for how we're supposed to do things. And that was the problem, is I listened and I was trying to figure out, how do I do commitment? And then after years of listening to this quote and hearing this quote and having groups memorize this quote, and somebody had bought me one of those accessories type wall things that had this quote on it, I finally, about 6 years ago now, stumbled across the actual book that the quote comes from. And I, for the first time ever, read the first part of the quote, the sentence that goes before the famous bit. So before you get to the famous bit, Murray says, "But when I said that nothing had been done, I erred in one important matter. We had definitely committed ourselves and were halfway out of our ruts. We had put down our passage money, booked a sailing to Bombay. This may sound too simple, but is great in consequence. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, always ineffectiveness." And so I had to read that multiple times to myself, because definitely committing oneself, I thought, okay, this is a declaration. This is an act of will. This is my word is my law, and I have said I am committed. But all he meant was they'd booked their tickets. Now, I got that, right? I'm flying out of LA tonight. Now, I've booked my ticket. So it's going to take an earthquake, a family disaster, or both for me to not be on that plane. Not because I have such strength of will and honor my commitments, because I bought the ticket, right? So much of commitment is demonstrated by, are we taking actions in support of that direction? And if we are, you could describe that as commitment. So would I ever say, I'm committed to getting on that airplane today? No, that would be a weird thing for me to say. But there's a 99.9% chance I'm going to be on that airplane. Now, that's so different to the way so many of my clients think commitment is supposed to work. So many people come and go, how do I commit? How do I honor my commitments? How do I, you know, I want to commit to this relationship. I want to commit to this. And it always sounds like, and I get this because it was like this for me, it always sounds like an act of will. And like if you can't commit, that's a problem, right? We all know, okay, some guys can't commit. No guy can commit. Oh, women, you know, she's commitment phobic, you know. And we think of it as a personality trait. And we think of it as an act of will. And we don't see that it's a description. It's just a description for what it's like when you're all in. What it's like when you've committed to a course of action. It's like, you put the pot in on the poker table. Yeah, I'm all in. Right? You know, are we going or not? Yeah, all right, let's get in the car and go. Right? You're in. Now, it's not that nothing could happen that will derail you from your path. It's just there's a 95 to 99.9% chance you're going to get there. And that opened up another sense of commitment. So now, okay, I'm gonna interrupt because so if you're on hold, stay on hold. I'm going to get to you. If you want to get into the queue, 866-254-1579, toll-free number to call from the United States and Canada, outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. Let me tell you the second part of my story. Then I'll take some calls. Then I'll go to the third part after I've spoken with you. So around 2003, I had been doing my coaching work for 13 years. I started in 1990, and I'd helped a lot of people. I'd had a lot of cool clients, but nobody knew who I was. Like I approached a publisher about getting a book published, and they had no idea. It was like they didn't laugh me out, but they were like, "Why? Who are you?" And I thought that was interesting. I was working with Gay and Katie Hendricks, and I know Gay and Katie have done some books with Hay House, and they're really just a lovely couple. I've had them come in and do some work on my programs, and I was working with them on a coaching program. And Katie pointed out to me, she said, "Boy, it sure seems like you're committed to flying under the radar." Now, I had never thought about commitment like that. It had never occurred to me that I could have commitments that I hadn't made consciously, that I could have unconscious commitments. But I could kind of see what she meant. And I kind of got, almost as soon as she said it, that I did an awful, I avoided activities that could have made me more of a public figure. I remember once the most embarrassing in a way one was I was in a health food store in LA. There's quite a lot of health food stores in LA, but it was a very trendy health food store. And this client of mine, who's a celebrity client, came up with a friend who was a celebrity photographer who said, oh, you know, this guy's such a big fan of you. I've told him all about you. And he was there with a Playboy model that he was dating. And they were like, oh my God, you know, we love what this guy's been describing. You know, we'd love to, you know, can I photograph you? And can we do this? And can we, you know, maybe this magazine that I'm working with could do a story on you. I literally excused myself to go to the bathroom, ran out of the health food store and drove away. And I didn't even really notice what I had done. Like that didn't seem insane to me until I was about 5 minutes away from the store. And I suddenly went, oh my God, what was that? Well, what that was, we could describe it as an unconscious commitment to not being seen. So what was interesting is when Katie pointed that out, my first reaction was, okay, I'll commit to flying above the radar. And she laughed and said, well, you do realize that above the radar and below the radar are both off the radar. I was like, oh yeah. But what was funny was my response to noticing I had an unconscious commitment was to try to make a conscious one. And what I actually found was that bringing the unconscious commitment into consciousness was enough. It actually began to change as it saw the light of day. In a way, the way I described it to somebody recently, it's like, imagine you've got a drop of water on your hand. And that drop of water, you think it might be toxic. You're not sure what it is, but it doesn't belong there. Well, you can go at it and you can, you know, work with it. You can try and scrub it off your hand. But if you walk out into the sunlight, that drop of water will evaporate. It will go back into the gaseous nature from whence it came, right? You don't have to do anything with it. It will change in the light of the sun. Well, we don't have to do anything about our unconscious commitments, but when we bring them into the light of our consciousness, they will begin to change. Some of them will just disappear, like the drop of water drying up in the sun. Some of them will evolve. They'll change form. We'll see something underneath that, and we'll get some fresh new thinking and insight about it. But we don't have to commit to things. Not saying you can't, not saying it's never a good idea. You already are committed to things. And as you become more and more conscious of your already existing commitments, those commitments will naturally change in ways that begin to serve you and your highest good. And we'll talk more about that, but I'll give the numbers out one last time. 866-254-1579 is the toll-free number for the U.S. and Canada. Outside the U.S., 001-760-918-4300. And we're going to begin today in Fort Lauderdale with David. Hey, David, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today?
How are you doing?
Hello. I'm well.
Hello. Good.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You said commitment. And what showed up for me was all the things I've been committed to, even though all the success I've had. And a lot of that has been hiding it. So I've always been preparing to prepare, but I feel like I've never really put myself out there. And I've always been behind the scenes, but I've never put myself in the front. And I realize this in others when they say to me, you can do so much more, and I feel guilty that I'm not doing more. But then I see it showing up when I'm aware of that as me sabotaging or not letting something happen in my business or my relationships. It's like,
right. And so that's actually a great example of how we assume that we're broken, right?
Yeah.
The problem is clearly there's something wrong. I must have some, I'm self-sabotaging. I'm this, I'm that. Everyone does that in my experience. So you're right on track. You are deluded in the same way as we all are.
Yes.
That's the good news. Okay. So can I ask you a few questions?
Please.
Okay. So is there something that you'd really like to do that you're not doing?
Well, actually, in my business, I have a coaching practice, and I'm actually just yesterday I made a decision to create more live trainings, more immersions. I love doing those, but I'm not doing as many as I'd like to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that this apparent block, and I'm saying it that way because I don't know what it is yet, but I'm suspicious of it because I'm always suspicious when the problem looks like us, right? Do you see any reason why you won't do more live trainings since you like it and you just yesterday realized you'd like to do more of it?
It's interesting. I have notebooks of things that I say I'm going to do, but then when it comes to pulling the trigger, I find a reason not to do it, as I'm not prepared enough, or the bullshit belief, excuse my language on here, that I'm not good enough. I mean, and I know it's ridiculous because the results that I see, but then it's this perpetual cycle where I know I can do it because I have evidence of it, but then I'm like, do I really need evidence to do anything I choose?
So, okay, so right now, let me put it like this. Please. So if you and I pooled our cash and we had a couple hundred bucks and I went down to Vegas to bet on whether or not you're going to actually put on a live event in the next 6 months, which way should I bet with our money? Because we want to get our money back.
Yeah, I'd put it on. I would put it, that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there anything that you'd really like to do that you're not doing that you think you won't do?
Is there anything I'd like to do that I'm not doing that I think I won't do?
Because, for example, the example you just gave is something that you probably are going to do. So that's not that's not an example of you being blocked. You might be conflicted about it, but hell, you know, we're all conflicted about stuff sometimes and then not other times. So that's not a problem. That's just how it works. But is there anything? Because that's the thing about the guilt, right? The guilt is as if you have some sort of responsibility to the planet to do something bigger than you're doing. Like I'm not aware of it working that way.
Right.
But if there's something in you that you are called forth to do that you really, oh my God, yeah, I really want to do this, but you just can't quite seem to do it, that might be interesting. Like that might be an area where this discussion of commitment could open something new up for you.
Got it.
The generic David's not good enough conversation. I got one of those. Mine's Michael's not good enough. My wife has one. Nina's not good enough. My kids have one. We're not, you know, we've all got that.
Yeah,
one. Sure.
Well, it's interesting when you say that, it actually went away from business and it went to relationship, because I feel like this issue that I've had in the past, or this, what I call it an issue, has held me back from being fully committed in the relationship where I'm there, but I'm not committed to doing what it takes in order to provide to have a family. Like I get everyone to the altar and then I don't pull the trigger.
Right. Now, is that literal or metaphoric?
No, I have not brought anyone to the altar and left them. No.
Okay. No, I was just curious. I mean, it's a different.
Great question though. Yes.
No, because I mean that could be like the plot of a movie, which would be kind of fun. So let me again. I don't want to get you in trouble in case somebody's listening.
Not at
but
all.
Like, is there somebody that you're with that you think, wow, we maybe could have a great life together?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, cool, great. So for you, what is it that you think if you didn't have a commitment issue or whatever this issue that you're calling an issue is, what is it that you think you would do in the next few months that you're not, that you don't think you'll do because of your issue?
The thing that shows up for me is letting, I don't know if this answered your question, but letting go and just trusting the process and just putting myself out there to the level that I'm skilled enough to be able to handle and provide.
So what aren't you doing? So here, I'm just trying to tease it out, David, and I get it. It's a little hard to get at sometimes, but what is it that you're doing instead of letting go? Like,
preparing, understanding everything.
For a little while.
Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here.
I said preparing. It's like
preparing. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in my, I feel like everything comes back to my business, but it gets reflected in all the other areas of my life. Like I feel like I haven't had a real business, even though I've been.
So I want to stop you, David, just because you're going back to telling me about your problem that you have in all these areas. I'm just trying to actually find how it's manifesting in relationships. So here's what I kind of expected you to say, and this is why I'm asking again.
Okay.
Like when I asked the question, what would you be doing if you didn't have this problem? Mm-hmm. You said letting go and trusting. Well, letting go and trusting aren't really things. Like,
right.
Sometimes you trust more, sometimes you trust less.
Yeah. It's not measurable.
Sometimes you're tuned in, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you're getting on really well, sometimes you're not. Like, that's being a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, you haven't sold me on you having an issue.
Got it. And I'm not trying to sell you. I'm trying to break through whatever this is. And I know it's my thoughts, but I would say taking my business and going to the level that that's capable of, beyond, six figures and beyond.
So if you didn't have this issue, you'd make more money and you would be what? You'd have a family? How would that show up in terms of the relationship?
Yes, I would have a family.
Make more money and have a family. Okay. Now, do you think this issue is the only reason that you're not making more money and having a family? Like but for my thinking about this, I would be making six figures and I'd have a lovely family. Does that sound true?
Yeah, I feel like the commitment part has always been the issue. It's like do things that come easy to me. And it's almost like sometimes I feel guilty at some things that feel easy. So it's like I make it harder than it has to be.
Hmm. Well, what if when you're following your wisdom,
mm-hmm.
things just are easier?
Right.
Because you're doing what you know to do. So even if it looks hard,
mm-hmm.
like when I left, I used to be I think I can legitimately say one of the world's leading NLP trainers.
Right.
I did seminars with 600-700 people with co-creator of NLP and one of the most popular NLPers in Britain. And I loved those guys and I loved doing those trainings. And I saw something different. I saw something about the spiritual nature of mm-hmm. human beings and this deeper potential that we have. And I went away from all of that to a completely different kind of work.
Right.
And there were a lot of people who said, wow, that must have been so hard. Wow, you were so brave. The reality is it would have been weird not to, because it was so apparent to me
mm-hmm.
that this was my path. So though I get that it looked like it should be hard, my experience of it wasn't. So if you use the difficulty level as the gauge of whether you're really fulfilling your potential, that's a faulty measure.
Right.
Because the difficulty level is more to do with how conflicted you are in your thinking about what you're doing than it is about the relative difficulty of the task. Right. If I go up a hill in a car that's only running on two cylinders, it's going to feel like a much steeper hill than if I'm in a V8.
Right. Well, I can. You said something about what feels clear, feels natural. I'm changing the words up a bit, but it's interesting. The stuff that you transitioned into, the three principles, that's actually. Lately, I've actually been tapping more into that. At the same time, I'm like, shit, I need to learn this now. I've done all this other stuff before, but this makes so much more sense. So let me understand this better, and then I'll be prepared. Then I'll take action.
So I have been told that I am back on air. I have been told that I will be getting all new radio equipment yet again next week. And I have been told that, actually, I haven't been told this, but I can make up that if you're listening live, we've got this as a secret. Remember that week where he went on and talked about commitment and it kept cutting out in the middle of coaching sessions and then he kept disappearing and he, and on the replay, it'll sound really smooth because we'll just cut all those bits out. David, I'm going to bring David back on. David, are you still with me? Apparently,
hello?
You there, David?
Yes, I am here.
So here, apparently, I have commitment issues with completing this conversation.
Got it.
Because I keep dropping off. But let me see if I can reconnect to where I think we are, and then
okay.
Let's see if we can bring it home just to kind of find a next step.
Perfect.
So here's what I heard, and I'm going to obviously be extrapolating. You have a sense that you could be doing more in your business, that you could be more present to and committed to your relationship, that you could put yourself out into the world more, and that if you did, your life would be the better for it. Is that part right?
Yeah, I mean, when you say the better for it, I mean, when you say that already, I'm like, well, why do I need that to be better? But yes, that would be the
But that's
pattern.
Why I'm saying it, is so that
yeah.
maybe you can hear it the way I'm hearing
yeah.
it.
So yeah.
The second part of it is that you think the reason that you don't do that is because of some kind of a commitment issue.
Yes.
Okay. So what if it didn't take commitment to have a wonderful, rich, and fulfilling life?
That'd be a lot easier.
Right. So here's my this is just for explore, right? Because what you're going to take away from this is whatever insights you have from us speaking. So
right.
I'm not laying down the law here. But it seems to me that the kind of commitment that actually leads to richer relationships, to more successful businesses, to Scottish Himalayan expeditions, isn't the kind of commitment that you can do or not do, that you can have an issue with or not have an issue with. It's a way of talking about a very natural, very normal human characteristic, which is that when we want to do something and we don't have a lot of thinking about it, we do it. And when we want to do something, but we have a lot of thinking about it, we think we need to commit to do it. And the third one, and the most common one, is when we don't really want to do something, but we think we should, we think we need to commit to it. How do those options fit with what it is that you'd like to do?
Well, it's something that I really want to do. So then I feel like I need a stronger commitment. And then, what was the last one again?
Well, the last one is a remarkably common one, which is, I don't really want to do this, but I think I should or have to, and so I want to develop my commitment so that I can do the thing. Because that's the thing. We use commitment to make ourselves do what we don't really want to do but think we should.
Right. Well, I mean, I want a family, and I want to have that power and the ability to provide and take care of. But then I'm like, am I doing it? Am I committed to the wrong thing in order to create that?
So what if here's the proposition. Right? Here's the proposition I'm making, the assertion that I'm making.
Right.
That desire, coupled with your willingness to be guided along the way, is enough. We really, really, really underestimate the power of desire, of simple desire, not of lust.
Right.
Right? Because lust is like an engine that burns really hot and then burns out. But desire is a steady burn. It's a slow burn. It's a renewable resource. when we follow our wanting, when we let ourselves be guided, the show last week was called Following Your Dream, following that inner guidance, not chasing something on the outside, but following that inner call, it's amazing not only what we find ourselves doing that seems like so much more than we would have thought we would ever do, but what starts happening. You know, providence moving too, and all sorts of unforeseen incidents beginning to occur that no man could have guessed would have come our way.
Right.
But that isn't a function of some act of will that we call commitment. Commitment is a description of what happens when we follow desire, when we follow our inner wisdom and our inner knowing. How does that alternate universe sound?
A lot more free.
Yeah. And in my experience, it's a lot more accurate to the way it works for us humans here on Earth. So you up for an experiment in desire versus commitment?
100%.
Yeah. So please phone back to the show and let me know how you get on.
I will do that 100%.
All right, David. That's
Thank
fantastic.
You.
And you know, if you're listening, and you know, most people I know when they listen, they sort of plug themselves in and go, well, how is that true for me? And sometimes that's not a good idea because sometimes it's very specific to the person I'm speaking with. But this is one of those ones that's kind of universal. Like, what if your desire was enough? What if your desire and your willingness to follow that desire where it led you was sufficient? Because in my experience, it really is. And you'll do things. This is what's funny. You will find yourself doing things that other people will admire your commitment. Right? I'm coming up on my 25th wedding anniversary. Nina and I have been together 27 years. And people took a wow. You know, what an example of commitment. Do you know, I get that, but this has been a 27-year celebration of following my knowing and my desire. Not my lust. There was probably some lust in there. But of really just allowing myself to do what I knew to do and to just be with somebody in a way that's just we've grown in love and friendship and play along the way. Not because of our commitment in a sense of an act of will, but because that's just what happens when you allow yourself to follow the unfolding of life and life unfolds that way. Let's go to Queens, New York, and let's talk with Laura. Laura, welcome to the show. What are we going to talk about today? Hey, Laura, are you with us? All right, we're going to put Laura back on hold. So I'm not sure if that's my line or if that is hers. Let me talk to the third thing I was going to talk about. So I talked about sort of commitment as this thing that unlocks the possibility of the universe, right? That until one is committed, there is hesitancy. But once you're in, you're in. Once you've bought your ticket, you're probably going to be on the plane, right? Once you've said you're going, you're probably going to go. Once you've gotten in the car, you're even more likely to actually go, right? It's the simplicity of simply moving in that direction and then allowing a natural momentum to carry you. Because that's really that's how commitment looks, right? You keep moving in a direction. And when you get stuck, here's a way of talking about commitment. Okay, this is one of the reasons I love the marriage vows, the traditional marriage vows, in the sense that they're a great description of how circumstance doesn't have any sway over commitment. Okay? So, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, right? That's saying, hey, the circumstance does not dictate whether or not I love you, whether or not I stay faithful to you, whether or not I am committed to you. There are circumstances where it may be more difficult. There are circumstances where it may be easier. And the commitment that I am making, the commitment that I have, is just bigger than that. It's bigger than circumstance because my desire to be in this kind of a relationship is there. It's present. I didn't create it. I'm not desiring it because it makes me a good person. It is what I am called forth to do. My desire to grow my business, to serve more people, my desire to support my family, my desire to make an impact in my community, my desire to have a fulfilling life, that desire is enough. And that desire is bigger than circumstance in a way that commitment as an act of will can't be. Right? I hear people talk about their commitments a lot. And there's always a slight sense of methinks the lady doth protest too much. I'm not saying you can or can't say it, and I'm not calling you out if you're somebody who says that you're committed to something. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying my experience has been that when somebody's really committed to something, you know it. You feel it. They're committed to it because they want to be. It's not something they're making themselves do. It's not shackles that they're imposing on on themselves. Right? People don't commit to the ball and chain. They commit to the love. They commit to the joy. They commit to the richness of a relationship. When there are problems, you work on the relationship. You don't go looking for a new one. They commit to the project where when there's a problem, you don't go looking for a new project. You find another way of making this one work. Those are things that evidence commitment. Those are ways that you can begin to bring your commitment into the light of consciousness and find out what you're really committed to. And here's the cool thing. Whatever you're afraid you're really committed to, like, oh, God, I don't want to do this because I'm probably committed to being a mess up for my – I'm really committed to not working very hard. I'm really committed to not trying. I'm kind of committed to living a little. You'll find that simply by bringing those commitments into the light of consciousness, they start to change like the drop of water drying up on the skin. And it becomes a whole different experience. It becomes so much gentler, but still with all the benefits and all the perks of something that makes Providence move too. Let's try Queens again. Let's go back out to Laura. Hey, Laura, you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry about that. I was
That's okay. It's been
to
that
live
kind
on the,
of a day.
On my computer, and I heard Laura. I'm so sorry about that. I'm glad that I did hear the voice, and I appreciate you taking my call. I've taken two of your courses, and I'm still very new, and I'm still very learning, and this is quite a thing for me. And my first course was given to me by one of your who studied under you, and then I took the second one. Anyway, I'm starting all over again after 32 years being in a business, working for somebody, and I'm on my own now. And I really just had tunnel vision when I was laid off, and I did everything I could possibly do to build my business, and I don't even know how I did it, but I did a good job. But here I am. It's funny you talked about getting yourself out there. Here I am in Queens, in my house, and nobody finds me here. I have to find them. And, of course, the only way for people to find us now is social media. And I thought about doing a website. I didn't know how to do that. I had no idea. And this lovely lady, Linda Pritchard, offered to do a website for me. And, you know, now there's all these services. Anyway, this was back in December. And I just, my wisdom talked to her about it, and she just was so wonderful. And she said, you know, just send me a bio and just tell me what buttons you want to do. And here we are, April, I don't even know what today is, 16th, and I can't bring myself to do it. And it's I want to be successful. I want to grow my business. Right now I'm sort of in a standstill on it, and it's not about commitment, and it's not subconscious. I don't know what stops me, and that's what occurred to me in listening to you.
Right.
So
I think that's a great. I think that's a great example of the kind of thing that comes up. I think most people can identify with thinking, "Why am I not doing this? This is like the only thing I need to do to move forward with something."
Yeah, and I thought about it, and you say when you think too much about it. I like those three choices, although I don't remember them right now, but. And the guilt, and I'm just not, you know, this is me, I'm not really an entrepreneur, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm afraid just, you know, I haven't written a resume ever, I worked somewhere for 31 years, and I still, in work, doing what I'm doing now, I didn't have to write a resume, and maybe that's, you know, I don't know.
So, okay, let me ask you a question, Laura, because here's what I found, I've done this once or twice before. Right. So I found there's really only a couple of things that are going on. So one is sometimes people just need a gentle, loving kick up the ass. Right. So, so that's completely possible. It's like we could talk about your therapy for years, or we could sit with you, do an intervention and sit down with you and stand over your shoulder while you type for an hour until it's typed. So surprisingly often, that's all that's going on. You got stuck, and an object at rest tends to stay at rest, and an object in motion tends to stay in motion. So sometimes you just need a nudge back into the flow. Now, at a guess, and you're not necessarily the most qualified person to guess, but you're the only one I've got, does that sound like all that's going on?
Yeah, I definitely need a kick in the ass. I definitely need, and I've spoken with Linda, and I said, I can't even believe I didn't do this. Like, what's up? And if somebody, I don't even know what I would probably write. You know, I had it all in my head. I was in the gym, and it all came to me in January, and I never wrote it down, and now it's not in my head, and I know what you say about thinking about it.
Okay, so here, let me make this really simple. You okay with really simple?
I love really simple.
Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stay on the line. I want you to give your email address to Joe in studio. He's going to send it to me. I'm going to put you in touch with somebody. They're going to get on the phone with you, and they're going to sit on the phone with you while you do this.
No way. That is just unbelievable. I would just, oh my goodness.
That's it.
Oh my goodness, Michael! Oh my goodness! I'm stamping my hand. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Laura. Stay on the line, okay?
Thank you so much. I'll stay on.
All right. You know, I'd love it to be deeper than that, right? I'd love this to be a deep. Oh no, wait. Let's go back and talk about spiritual principles. So often we just get stuck. And when you get stuck, you don't need therapy. You need a nudge. If a stick gets stuck in a river, it doesn't need years of therapy. It needs a gentle nudge back into the flow. And there's a kindness to life, right? It doesn't usually actually require. In fact, I'm not sure that it ever requires anything of us that we can't easily give. So let me try and sort of sum up. I understand if you're listening live because of our little foibles, it may have been a little disjointed. So let me see if I can sort of sum up what we've been talking about in a way that you can kind of go forward with it. The first thing is that commitment is not a prescription. Commitment is not something you need to do. It's not something you need to practice. It's not something you need to get better at. Now, there are plenty of people out there who'll disagree with me, so I get that. But my experience is, and I have a fair bit of it, is that commitment is a description of that state of mind, that relationship we can be in with something, where it's easier to do it than not do it. It's easier to keep moving forward than to pull back. Not every second of every day, but generally. It's a description of that relationship we can be in with something, where the field is tilted toward success, so that if nothing happens, the ball is going to roll downhill. And even when something happens to the ball and something holds up the ball, as soon as that thing passes, whether it was a thought or a circumstance or a person, we're right back in action. So it's not that when you're committed, you will never get stuck. It's not that when you're committed, you will never question yourself. It's not that when you're committed, everything will be easy from that moment forward. But it is a fundamentally different relationship to be in with something than I kind of sort of want to try it. So here's your homework. And it's a two-part homework assignment if you want to play with this at home. And both parts of the homework are designed to, as insight catalysts, they're designed to spark you having insight into fresh thinking about commitment, but also about your relationship with the various projects and relationships you are in your life. And the first one is, begin to notice what you are committed to. And the way you notice it is you seem to keep doing it, right? So you seem to, now some of these are going to be very positive. You know, I seem to be committed to going to work because I keep going, right? I seem to be committed to this relationship because I'm still in it. I seem to be committed to feeding my cat because cat never goes without a meal. Right? Now, you probably never declared, I shall feed my cat every day. But you're just naturally in a commitment to that creature, to that task. And just get a feel for that and see how some of those commitments, because there will be some you'll come up with that won't be so nice. Wow, I seem to be committed to making promises and breaking them. I seem to be committed to saying I'm going to do something and not doing it. And that goes both ways. I might be committed to saying things that I really have no intention of doing. Or it may be that I really have the intention of doing, but I seem to be committed to not following through. And as you, instead of judging yourself for them, instead of trying to create a new commitment, instead of trying to fix them, just let those commitments rest in your consciousness in the way that you would let your body rest in the sun after you get out of a swimming pool or the ocean until it dries, and see what changes. The other part of the experiment, the other thing that I think you'll get a lot from trying, is to notice the difference between how things flow when you're in. Like, I'm going to the airport this afternoon. Right? There are certain projects that I'm just going to do them. You can consider them done. And get a feel for how is that different to those projects that you're sort of kind of thinking about that you really ought to. And notice what you notice. And if you want to continue the conversation, if you go to the Inside Out community on Facebook, you can request membership. We'll let you in. We have low barrier to entry. And carry the discussion on there. And you may, you can sign up for the newsletter at supercoach.com, and that will get you into the community as well. And just share what you discover, what insights you have into the nature of commitment, into how unconscious commitments can evolve in the light of consciousness, like water drying up in the sun, and what it's like to be committed to something not as an act of will, but simply as a way of being in the world. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope you've been able to follow the show. I've had fun. We're going to be back next week with a live interview with Elsie Spittle. She's an absolutely amazing teacher of the principles. You can always learn more at supercoach.com. You can follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/mneil. You can follow me on Twitter @Michael_Neil. And until next time, have learn heaps. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye for now.